So let me just get transitioned here. No overhead this morning. So I want to just dive right in. And the title of this message is, because Sherry always likes to know the title, Will I Pass the Test? Will I Pass the Test? As I thought about that, the first thing that came to me was the fact that nobody liked tests. How many of you love, there's going to be a couple hands that go up. Didn't you just, I won't even ask you to raise your hand because I hated those people. There was that one student in the classroom who the teacher didn't give the test, and finally at the end of the class says, Mrs. Smithers. Yes, and he's usually a girl, I'm sorry. Mrs. Smithers, aren't you going to give us your test? You just want to kill that girl, didn't you? You know, I don't want to take a test. How many of you want to take a test? I don't want to take a test, so we don't like tests in education. Oh, we don't like to be tested in our careers either. You know, I mean, you know, when you get tested in your career or maybe your boss just comes and grills you, you know, I don't want that either. What about tests in relationships? Ooh, now I'm getting really uncomfortable. Tests in relationships, I don't know if I want that. Oh, I know I don't want to be tested in my circumstances, you know. I know the Bible says count it all joy when you go through various trials, but I know I don't want that. I don't like tests. And to be honest, sometimes I don't even want to be tested in my faith. I want to take the easy road. Well, how many of you are on Facebook? And Facebook is kind of a weird animal, isn't it, sometimes? So I want to give you, just have a little fun before we dive right into the serious stuff. I want to give you the top 10. I told you since David Letterman retired, I was going to start bringing you some top 10s. Because somebody's got to keep the tradition up. I want to give you the top 10 stupid Facebook tests. Yay. Yeah, okay, this is for the young people. And some of you adults are going to hear these and you're going to go, I don't get it. You know, and you won't, but I want to hear some cheers from the peanut gallery here. Number 10, which community character are you? And this one everyone will get. Number 9, which Texas city should you live in? Don't you love those? You get those and think, and you go, oh, I should live in Paris. You know, I don't know. Number 8, how long will you survive a zombie apocalypse? That's number 8. Yeah. Number 7. What is your Toy Story IQ? These are important tests. They're really important. Number 6, how big is your heart? Oh. Number 5, in light of the new Pixar film, what inside emotion are you? Oh, this is for this group. Number 4, what's your 90s sitcom IQ? Friends, Seinfeld. Number 3, in light of the newest blockbuster film, here's one of the quizzes. What Jurassic World predator are you? And for the women, because you don't want to just have them for the youth. You want, for the women, which IKEA furniture are you? And this one for my wife. Well, this could be taken wrong. For my wife, because she loves animals, which breed of rabbit should you own? Yeah, she liked it. Okay. That's the top 10 stupid Facebook quizzes. So the question is, should believers have a test? And if so, will I pass the test? Look with me now to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Paul writes, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning. He says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. I have something to say about that. But notice he calls us to examine ourselves and to test ourselves. He says, do you not realize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So let's look at two words, two key words in this. First, the word examine, and then the word test. The word examine in the Greek means to try whether a thing can be done. So he says, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Okay, so see whether this can be done. Or to make a trial or a test for the purpose of ascertaining the quantity of what and the quality of what you think or how you behave. That's interesting. The word test is a little bit different. It means to scrutinize, to see if something's genuine, like in the examination of a metal or a gem. I'll never forget the time when I went, my wife had a legal secretary's conference down at in Los Angeles when we lived in California, and it was at the Biltmore Hotel. Real fancy old hotel in California. And prior to that, we used to go to this little town called Claremont, California, and we would go and have breakfast at a place called Walter's, and we'd walk up and down the streets, and there was a little jeweler there. And the jeweler had in the window this beautiful, very large pink stone. And every time we'd walk by, somehow I ended up in front of the window. I don't quite know how it happened, but I was gazing at the pink stone. So we went to the Biltmore Hotel. I didn't want her to be down in Los Angeles by herself because even though the Biltmore's a nice hotel, the surrounding area is not so nice. And so while she was at her conference, I walked around and I found the jewelry district in Los Angeles. So there was a jeweler that I had gotten to know, and I went into that jeweler, and I said, and I forget his name, but they were Korean family, and I said, do you have a pink stone? Oh, he brought out a tray of them. They look beautiful. I said, now, do you have a setting for this pink stone? So I spent the whole day working on this. The whole day working on it, and finally I decided she's getting off from the conference. I'm going to surprise her. And so we went down into this little kind of like cafe, and she was sitting at the table, and I was sitting there, and we're talking about how was your conference and everything. And then I slid it in front of her. And she went, and she opened it, and she looked at it, and she closed it, and she said, that's nice. Now, come on, I had spent the whole day on this. And I said, that's nice. She said, yeah, that's nice. I said, Karen. I said, that's a real stone. She went, that's a real stone? That's a real stone? That's a real stone? She thought I had visited cosmetic jewelry. There was this little shop in the bottom area of the hotel that had a little cosmetic jewelry, fake jewelry store, where you bought jewelry that looked like real jewelry, but it was fake. And so she looked at it, and she thought, well, big deal, he bought me a fake ring. So I told her, give it a test, bite down on the thing. No, I didn't say that. See, that's what it's talking about, to examine or test, to see if something's real, to see if something's true. Well, you still got that ring, don't you? It has diamonds in it, too. I was good. Whatever happened to me? I went back in the ministry. Anyway. Okay. Who are we to test? Well, the Bible says we're to test ourselves. Notice that we want to be the person who hands out the test. We want to test everyone else. And in light of what happened this week, we want every Supreme Court justice and every politician to take our test. But the Bible doesn't tell us to test each other. It tells us to test ourselves. And why are we to test ourselves? To see if we're in the faith. I'm going to talk about that in a second. We can't test the faith of others. Listen, I can get up here and I can talk, and you can kind of come to an idea of whether I'm being sincere and real, which I hope I that's my heart. But the reality is, you don't know what's in my heart. Only God does. I hope my life will give me away, and that how I live will prove my heart. But do you understand that I remember as a young man, I went to work for a ministry that I really believed in, and the leader I thought was just the next thing since the Apostle Paul, and I changed everything, and both Karen and I went to work there. And when I got inside the ministry, I found out that he wasn't the Apostle Paul. He wasn't even the apostle. He really had a lot of problems, and the whole ministry was askew morally and ethically. And yet when he preached, tears would run down my face. You see, we don't really know when we hear somebody or look at somebody what's in their heart. So let's just stop trying to do that. I think that's a good thing. You know, I'm not going to try to test you or judge you or size you up or tell you what kind of person you are. I need to focus on myself. Jesus in Matthew 7, 1-5 tells us that we better get busy removing the beam in our own eyes before we can remove the speck in our brother's eyes. Can I tell you this? That you'll never finish that job. But that's your job and my job, is to test myself. What is the test? The test to discern whether we are in the faith. It's not a test of whether we believe or not. There's a whole big difference between being in the faith and believing. You can say you believe in God and it won't change your life a bit. You say, well, how can you say that, Kurt? Well, because in the book of James it says the demons believe and shudder. But how many of you know the demons aren't going to heaven and their lives aren't changed? They know who Jesus is, but they're not surrendered to him. You see, it's not talking about whether you believe in God. I remember when I was a young person, before I committed my life to Christ, and you know, I still wanted to be everything that my friends were in the world, and I still wanted to have the veneer of Christianity. My common response to them was, well, I believe in God. I went to Lutheran school, and we had chapel every Wednesday. Isn't that the way a lot of people view their faith? Well, I believe. The Bible doesn't ask us to test whether we believe. It asks us to test whether we are in the faith. And what does that mean? It means, are we living our lives consistently with people who profess that Jesus Christ is Lord? You see, if I'm in something, I'm going to act a certain way. When I'm in the water, I swim. Right. Hopefully better than that. No, See, if I'm in a club, then I follow the rules of the club. If I'm in the faith, I'm going to live a life that's consistent with the faith. The very fact that I profess Jesus Christ to be my Lord has to impact how I live and how I act and what I speak. It has to transform me from the inside out, or it means nothing. I don't care. I remember the time I sold what car was it? I sold one of the cars, the car that my wife didn't love, my Pinto station wagon. And this was during the Jesus movement, and on my Pinto station wagon, it was really rad. Anyway, that's a 90s term. On my Pinto station wagon, I had a fish symbol on the back, stuck on the window. Yeah, because that's what you did back then. Fish sticker on the back, and I had my CB radio. Breaker, breaker, anybody there? You got your Jesus on? Come on, you know, 10-4. I had a CB radio, Jerry. And so this guy in my apartment complex, I walk out one day, and I see he's got a car, and it's got this fish symbol on the back. And as a Jesus freak as I was, I said, "Praise Jesus! I'm glad to see you're a believer." He goes, "Huh?" I said, "Well, you got the fish sticker on your window." When he said, "I just bought that car. I wondered what that was." You see, it's not that you're being in the church. It's not that you're in the Sunday school class. It's not that you're in a place of people who carry Bibles or have little stickers on the back of your car. It's whether you're in the faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. If you're in the faith, you're going to be seeking him. You're going to be living for him. So examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Is my faith, my professed faith in Jesus Christ, is it really impacting every area of my life? Is it impacting the way I deal with salesmen? Now, you know the worst person to sell to is a salesman. And because I've been in sales or marketing all my life, when I go into a car lot, I got my radar on. I'm the worst customer you ever want to see. I know you're a charlatan even before you come and talk to me. I know you're trying to rip me off for every dime I have, and you're going to bait and switch, and I know all your tricks. Come on, bring it on. Well, that isn't very Christ-like, is it? That poor guy's just trying to earn a living. Now, are there some crooks around there? Yeah, there are, you know. But how does my faith impact the way I deal with a salesman? Especially a car salesman. Is there any car salesman in here? I want to honor you. And then I want to talk to you about a deal after the service. But, I mean, that's the toughest thing, isn't it? Sometimes I tell we have such a friendly church, and our ushers and greeters are so friendly. Sometimes I tell them, give them a little more space at the front door. They're going to think you're a bunch of used car salesmen ready to pounce on them. Don't you know that? You know when you turn out of a car lot immediately is when you drive up and you see seven guys just standing on the stoop like this. They're just waiting for, you know, and you just know it's all, you know, I just turn around, Karen, we're going. You know, I'm leaving this place. I liked it when I was walking around a car lot. My car's in the shop, so I just, for kicks, was walking around, and I got this rental car, and I went over to Roger Williams Chrysler Plymouth, and I'm out looking at some things and everything, and a lady comes out with a dog, and she says, anybody helping you? I said, no, I'm just looking. Okay. Let us know if we can help you, and she walks away with her dog. I said, now that's the kind of salesman I like. The dog was. Anyway. What's the overriding truth of the test? He said, don't you know, verse 5, don't you know that Jesus Christ is in you? Next time you stand in front of the mirror, look at, and just, when I look, I see this guy who doesn't look much like what I see in my mind anymore, but when I look, I just see this guy with a clean-shaven head, kind of a bold but sassy mustache. That was even too much for me. But to be honest with you, I don't necessarily see Jesus. Can I be honest? But you know what? He's in me. Paul's saying, do you realize who lives in you? God, who created everything, lives in you. And he says, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Don't you realize that Jesus Christ is in you? So, when we go through things like we went through this week, We are the only picture of Jesus that people who are lost and confused will see. If they see love, grace, and mercy, along with uncompromising truth, which is what Jesus was, they see Jesus. If they see angry, bitter Christians, they see you and me. Jesus Christ in me is three things. It's the mystery of the gospel, it's the power of the gospel, and it's the promise of the gospel. It's the mystery of the gospel because this is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't fully understand that, but wow. Terry, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everything you dream of, everything you hope for, everything you need, everything you desire in life is in you because Christ is in you. And it is your hope of glory. Wow. It's the power of the gospel. I have no power to heal, to save, to deliver. But when I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus, it's Christ in me praying over them. And there's power in the name of Jesus. Not because I'm powerful, but because he's powerful. Because he's the healer. He's the savior. He's the baptizer. He's the soon coming king. And we got to start getting off this sense of shaking knees and wondering if God's going to do anything when we pray and just go with believing faith and pray. It's up to God after that. But Christ is in you. And when I lay my hands on you as a believer, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a believer, Jesus is laying his hands on you. Because Christ is in me. That's the mystery of the gospel. That's the power of the gospel and the promise of the gospel. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies and raise you up, hallelujah, through the spirit that dwells in you. Do you realize, guys, the potential and gals, the potential that's within you? Do you even realize it? All of heaven, every spiritual blessing, every provision of the power of Christ risen from the dead is in you. And in you, and in you. And now think about when we like, in the church, we kind of like tend to say, okay, well, it's in the minister. It's in the evangelist. It's in the prophet. It's in the apostle. No, it's in you. It's in Eddie. It's in Billy. It's in Kai. The power of the gospel's in this man. It's in you, Jeremy. Tim, it's in you. I didn't even get anywhere. I had this whole neat packaged ending, you know. I was going to do this whole thing, and I'm not going to be able to get there. So worship team, come back up. So I'm going to tell you, there's other scriptures there for you and everything, and there's a whole lot more I could say about this, but I just trust the Lord to give me what he wants me to say when I get up to speak. You know, all I have is a mere outline, and I don't even know what I'm going to say. Some people say to me, and sometimes I'm humbled, Mitch says, I remember when Pastor Kirk preached this sermon, and you know, brother, I don't even remember when I preached that sermon. Some people sometimes say, you know what, Pastor Kirk, what you said last Sunday, I go, what'd I say? I don't know. But if you look on your notes, there were notes. And I did this personally, and it was very helpful for me. And see, how did my life reflect truth? The truth, or how did my life reflect Jesus Christ in me? Now, we're very good about beating each other up. Meaning, not me beating you up, John, but about you beating yourself up. I mean, you know, I know you're the type of person, you'd be more critical on yourself than on other people.
Absolutely.
And most of us are that way. We look at our lives and we can just start picking ourselves apart. And you know what? You got a helper, Satan. He'll just come right up and go, oh, wow, we having that picking apart party again? I love that party. Let me just join you. Let me tell you some really bad things about you. Oh, wow. Oh, man. So the first thing I'd like you to do is take some time today or this week just to get alone in a place of prayer, in a place that's quiet. Three or four things. Just look over your week and say, when did I experience Jesus Christ in me? You'll be surprised. Oh, when that elderly person needed help, or when that young child needed their shoe tied, or when, I'll tell you one, in my life this week, you know that I lost my dear friend Mike Howard, who I worked with for 35 years, and every Monday still I want to call him. And he had a wife. They never got divorced, but they didn't live together for years and years and years. And I'm in San Antonio on a business trip, and she calls me up and she said, I need help. I hadn't talked to her in years until the funeral, but she had no one else to turn to. I got to be Jesus in my actions and thoughts when I shared love and direction to her. All of you do that. So I want you to start out by thinking about those things. Then I want you to think about the times over the past week when you saw yourself in your actions and not Jesus. To my own maybe fault or detriment, I just don't know how to be else but vulnerable, but I was in a restaurant on my business trip, and I was sitting there eating, and I glanced over at a couple that were eating at the restaurant, and I just began to judge them in my mind. So that would go in number two. That wasn't Jesus in me. That was me in me. So I think that this is not an exercise to bring us to a place of this woeful self-introspection, to where like Martin Luther, do you know Martin Luther would form a whip of cords before he realized that it was faith alone? And he would get on his knees and he would cry out to God and he would say, I'm such a sinner. And he'd whip himself until he bled. You can do that emotionally to yourself. That isn't what God wants you to do. But it's important for us to be honest with ourselves and to affirm the times we see Jesus living in us and through us, and to recognize the times when it's just us. And that sensitivity is the test. Because the goal is, when we see it's us, to run right back to the cross and let it be Jesus. And let it be Christ in me, the hope of glory. So this morning, as we sing and worship, as we close, I want to ask you to just focus on that. Say, Lord, will I pass the test? Your test for me, not for anyone else this morning. Draw my heart to you. Let's stand and let's worship.
A place that saves. There is a place.
There is a place.
A place of hope.
A place of hope.
Here in your presence. Sorrows they fade,
sorrows they fade.
And dreams are really made,
dreams are really made.
Here in your presence,
oh, hallelujah.
So we draw
to. James, I want you to take this chair, kind of wrap your arms in all around it, kind of bind yourself up in that chair. Okay, yeah, just kind of tangle yourself up. Okay, so this is the way our lives get when we're walking and it's me, not Jesus. And the last thing that we think we want to do is come into his presence. Because we think that if we walk into the presence of God all bound up like this, that Jesus is just going to go, James did it again, didn't you? James, now this is what, you know, I would some have done as a parent. I'm not proud of it. How many times didn't I tell you? How many times have I told you not to? Look at you got that chair all tangled up on yourself again. When are you ever going to learn? See, that's what we think God's going to do. That isn't what God does. Now, I didn't choose James to be, I could do it, but I have to kind of orchestrate it, so I'm going to be Jesus. Sorry, James. Here's what actually happens when we come into the presence of God. Walk toward me.
Hallelujah.
That's what happens. That's what God wants to do. Whether we just want to be transformed completely by His love. Don't you know that Christ is in you? Is the question to our hearts and our lives. Father, open our spiritual eyes. Lord, we give You our heart. And we give You our mind, will, and emotions, our soul. And this morning, we want to live our lives for You. Not marginally. Not once a week, but transparently, consistently, and unabandonedly, we want to live for You. We want You to be the center of everything. We want Jesus, we want Your love to be the motivating factor in our life. We want Your grace to be the words that come out of our lips. Altar prayer team members, come forward as we close. Listen. Just slipping your hand up and saying a little prayer in your seat many times, that's an emotional response. You've got to do something. You've got, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. We're not going to embarrass anyone here, but listen, if God's speaking to your heart, if you haven't really passed the test because you've been living your life for yourself and not Christ in you, the hope of glory, if you need to be saved, if you need to be healed, if you need to be forgiven, if you just need to know that God loves you and you need a hug from the arms of Christ this morning, then you'll have prayer teams up here ready to pray for you and affirm God's love to you and lead you into whatever commitment that you need to make this morning. But you need to come. You need to step out when we dismiss. You need to take time, not run off to lunch. They'll still have food. You need to take the time that is needed to step out of your comfort zone and come and receive prayer. This is serious, folks. This is a time of commitment now. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would just draw hearts now by your Holy Spirit, that not one life would leave this auditorium this morning without making the commitments that you have called them to make, without receiving the prayer that you are calling them to receive, without taking the step of faith that you're calling them to take. Lord, we give you our heart and we give you our soul. Hallelujah. Give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Now may the love of God be upon you and receive his blessing now as we close. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. If you need prayer, come forward. You're dismissed in the love of the Lord. Have a blessed day. Be in Christ.